My name is Andrew Cutchins. I'm director of the Russia-Eurasia program here at the Center for Strategic International Studies in Washington, D.C. And it is my great pleasure to welcome to our studio today Sergei Guriev, who is the rector of New Economic School in Moscow, and his colleague and friend and co-author, Alice Savinsky, who is professor of economics and co-director of the macroeconomics program at Yale University. Sergei and Alla write a bi-weekly column for the leading Russian newspaper Vera Veromosti, and they are also working together on an article for our Russia Balance Sheet Project, second book, and we are working together. In fact, Sergei, Anders Oslin, and myself are editing this, and we'll be meeting in Moscow in a couple of weeks to look at the various chapters. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's been going on with Russia, the Russian economy since the crisis. And let me start with you, Alla, and tell me a little bit about the impact of the economic crisis on Russia and how the Russians have reacted to it.
So, of course, economic crisis hit Russia very severely, and it was surprising to many that actually Russian economic policy was not as bad as one would have expected. Of course, there were several large mistakes. So, for example, in September, the Russian government tried to support the fallen stock market, and it's difficult to foresee how this money will be recouped. The Russian government tried to and still continues to support inefficient companies such as the failing behemoth of a car maker, Avtovaz, and spent quite a lot of money on that. They tried to increase the tariffs for some of the goods to try to shield again the manufacturers in the country. But by and large, Russian economic policy was, at least to us, surprisingly competent. And we'll talk a little bit about that. So most importantly, Russian government averted the collapse of the financial system in the fall of the last year. So that was the first large and important policy that dealt with the crisis relatively efficiently. The second thing, and many people think that during the crisis, Russian oligarchs were bailed out. But that's actually not the case. So out of about $50 billion of foreign debt by Russian private companies and banks, only $10 billion of the debt was refinanced. And another important thing that happened in Russia is that despite what one might have expected, during the crisis, there was no large-scale nationalization of the companies.
For example, if you look at the American, you've been here living in the United States and in New Haven. If you look at the American response to the crisis and you compare it with the Russian response, what more similarities than differences?
So I would say more similarities than differences. So in both in the U.S. and in Russia, there were some anti-market policies, so the policies which were either politically lobbied or directed to appease some political interests. For example, the main problem, I think, one of the main problems is the support of the car industry, both in Russia and in the U.S. There were, of course, some similarities, and some of the similarities were on the side of managing of the exchange rate. So one of the things that the Russian government should have done, and they didn't do it right away, was to devalue ruble. Of course, there was no issue like that in the United States. Another thing which is different is that the Russian government did not decide to have a massive stimulus package. So they did not pump money in the infrastructure projects like it was done in the U.S. And for a variety of reasons, but that was definitely a difference between the U.S. and Russia.
So, Sergei, from what I have seen, I think that Russian economic performance overall for 2009 is going to come in somewhere minus 7, minus even up to minus 10% in GDP, which would put it as an underperformer compared to other BRIC economies or G8 economies. How do you assess the state of the Russian economy now and its growth prospects in the near and midterm?
Well, the fact that Russian economy is underperforming other G8 or G20 economies is kind of natural because Russian economy is a resource economy, and therefore the volatility in the resource prices directly affects Russian economy. So I wouldn't be too worried about the 2009 performance. My concern is rather about midterm and long-term perspectives, because it's not very clear how Russian economy will grow at the rates it enjoyed before the crisis. So 7% rates or even 6 or 5% rates seem to be unachievable by now, especially if oil prices, which are reasonably high right now, will not continue to grow as they did before the crisis. And in a sense, government's now resuming the talk about reforms, privatization, and diversification. I should say that we've heard the talk about reform, modernization, diversification for 10 years now, and Russian government's tried a few policies, quite a few policies, almost all the policies one could have suggested, and Russian economy failed to diversify. And moreover, Russian government that tried to fight corruption and improve rule of law, build efficient and an independent judiciary, has so far not succeeded in that as well. And so this is my biggest worry, that, say, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we'll be sitting having the same conversation about modernization and diversification being long-term priorities for Russia. And so far, I think Russian economy is still to face the challenge of building institutions that are so necessary for the long-run economic growth.
You know, I remember, Sergei, you were here in Washington at CSIS about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, as the crisis was really starting to take off. And there was some optimism among some of us that perhaps the impact of the crisis, and particularly the fall in the oil price, which has provided, you know, windfall revenues for the Russian economy in recent years, and maybe not been a great stimulus for economic reform, the lower oil price might stimulate the reformers to have the upper hand. How do you sound like you're pretty unsure that's the case today? I mean, the oil price has recovered to a level of about $70+ a barrel. That seems to be pretty comfortable for the rest of the Russian economy. I guess my question is, did the oil price come back too quickly?
That's what many people believe. Indeed, the fact is that if oil price is too high, Russian government and the kind of political and economic elite in general has little incentives for reform. And indeed, oil price has come back up too fast, and still it's not at the pre-crisis level, because at 70 or 75, like it is now, looks like unachievably high by the standards of 2005 or 2006, but still not as high as a year and a half ago when it was above 100 and reaching 140 plus. And that means that at the current level of spending, Russian economy will run out of money in a couple of years. And fortunately, Russian government is more competent than Soviet government was 20 years ago. And so by recognizing this danger, this risk per se may create incentives to reform. And we already see that Russian government is talking about privatization so far. The discussion is about minority stakes rather than controlling stakes. But I guess if oil price goes down to, say, 60, we'll be talking about major privatization of controlling stakes and maybe even liberalization, maybe even fighting corruption.
Let me ask you guys one more question. Last time I saw you in June in St. Petersburg at the Economic Forum, there was a lot of cautiously optimistic talk about Russia's WTO accession. Of course, the U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk was there for that. And then just a couple of days later, I was very personally shocked by the announcement of Vladimir Putin that Russia was going to be moving away from its bilateral accession and try to join the WTO in a customs union with Belarus and Kazakhstan. What is the state of play now with Russia's WTO accession?
So I would call the St. Petersburg June talks more like euphoria rather than cautiously optimistic. I would say at that point, before the Putin's announcement, there was a roadmap for Russia to settle all the issues with Europe and the U.S. by the end of 2009. And indeed, the announcement by Vladimir Putin just indeed 2 or 3 days afterwards was a shock for everybody. And I'm sure for Russian negotiators themselves. Oleg and I wrote a an op-ed in Vedomosti suggesting that that was a mistake. I think many people share this view, but apparently for Prime Minister, the customs union with Belarus and Kazakhstan is of a higher priority than WTO accession, even though, while being the president, Vladimir Putin has always maintained that joining WTO is one of the major priorities for economic policy. So it's very hard to add this up. But right now, I guess the official line, from what we hear in public statements from Russian government officials, is January 1st, 2010, customs union will be created, which means Russian WTO accession is off for at least a few years. Yet we also see some noises and signals here and there that Russia would like to join WTO without its potential customs union partners. Russia is still working on it, but I guess Russian counterparts in Brussels, Washington, and Geneva are not aware of that.
Well, Sergey, Oleg, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us today here at CSIS, and we look forward to having you back on the air sometime soon.
Thank you.